In the name of Jesus Christ and on behalf of the First Congregational Church of Natick, it's my pleasure to welcome you here. This church is an open and affirming congregation of the United Church of Christ. Whoever you are, wherever you are on life's journey, you are welcome here, whether or not you're a polar bear or a penguin. We will be lighting the Christ candle shortly, and so for those at home who will join us, please get a candle so you can join us in that event. It's more meaningful to us and to you when we can all do it together. You can see Ned and somebody else over there in the parade ground. Anybody who wants to go over, I mean, it's meant for kids, there's little baby chairs, but anybody who wants to go over, even Jeff Clausen can go. Reagan, it's you.
Good morning, athletes. I am here to announce the start of the second half, the third quarter of the Super Bowl, and I'm going to give you some stats as we ran down the first half. The Penguins on the south side of Route 135 got 387 points in the end of the second half, or the first half, sorry. Pretty good, pretty good. But wait, disappointment is coming. Polar Bears took a strong lead of 631 points. Wow. Demanding lead. Just a reminder to all the Penguins out there that you can donate on the You Give Goods website. Here we have the score up on the screen. You can donate with food and with clothing items. The Polar Bears can still donate too, but Penguins. We need some help for the Penguins, so. We need some help for the Penguins. We still have a long way to go. We still have the full second half, so let's go. We still got this, Penguins. Woo!
All right, so that's a tough act to follow.
Right in front of the microphone.
Oh, I say that's a tough act to follow, but I will say that polar bears eat penguins. And I live north of, well, I'm a polar bear. Okay, so I wanted to, Jeff Clausen's my name, and I wanted to just let everyone know that Sarah Lynn Keller and Grace Psyche and Jenna Clausen and myself are all going to Guatemala, Santa Maria Teja, this coming February. And we are collecting school supplies for the school in Santa Maria Teja. And so I have some examples of things that we are looking to collect, and we're hoping that you all can help us collect school supplies. Markers and crayons and pencils. And I want to note that we collected school supplies last time in February of 2020, just before the pandemic, and we collected supplies from all you all that we brought down there that were integral in helping the community pivot to remote learning during the pandemic. All your school supplies were distributed to the kids and they brought them home in little packets, and that was really, really important. And this time that we go down in February will be the first time that we are back in the community when the schools are in session. So we're very excited to be able to be there in person while the schools are in session, and we look forward to being able to bring your school supplies that you've donated down there to the children and to help them be part of their education. You may be familiar with your own kids in school in Natick that it's typical here for teachers to gather school supplies. We have school supply collections even here in our rather wealthy community. You can imagine how difficult it is in Santa Maria Teja to have school supplies. So pens, pencils, crayons, markers, erasers. Happy to receive your donations, and we'll be bringing them down, and we'll be representatives of you all bringing those donations down to the school in Santa Maria Teja this coming February. And we have a basket downstairs at the in the back entrance near the elevator. There's a little basket there collecting school supplies. So thank you very much.
Robin, did you miss anything else? Are you making the annual meeting announcement or am I? Right after worship, we'll be having the annual meeting downstairs. There'll be a light lunch, and everybody here needs to go because we need 50 people for a quorum. And there'll be food, 50 members. But everybody should come anyway. Lane.
Good morning.
Good morning.
So as you will see in the annual report downstairs, when you go downstairs, the projected income for the church for 2023 is up slightly from 2022, about 1.5%. However, expenses have increased by more than 8.5%. Now, this increase is a result from inflationary impacts on salaries and utilities, a new part-time position to manage our digital presence, and the hiring of a new settled pastor. As a result, finance has proposed and coordinating approved a budget with a $40,000 deficit. We will be asking the congregation, the members of the congregation, to approve this budget and a deficit at annual meeting this afternoon. Reducing this deficit or eliminating it entirely would be preferable before asking the congregation to approve. Note, this will not be a one-time event. Expenses have gone up, and it is unlikely that they will decrease in 2024. Ignoring this gap will not make it go away. Going into 2023 with a deficit has an additional potential impact. A candidate interested in our new settled pastor position will want to know why we approved a deficit budget. They will also be curious about what we plan to do about it and whether this will be a regular part of how we fund the ministries of this church going forward. This congregation has many positive qualities, all directly related to the people here who care for and love this church and its missions. These qualities come out loud and clear on every page of our recently completed church profile. But a $40,000 deficit is not going to go unnoticed. I have two challenges this morning. If you have not made a pledge of financial support for 2023, please consider doing so. The dollar amount does not matter. The number of pledging units has been decreasing. This is not unexpected during a transition period and reduced in-person attendance due to the pandemic. However, if we can demonstrate that this congregation can buck that trend and show an increase in the number of pledging units, then that's going to go a long way to convincing potential candidates. Can you pledge a dollar a week, $2 a week, anything? The amount does not matter. We have extra pledge cards downstairs in the vestry, and there's also some in the back here. My second challenge is to those of you who have already pledged. Thank you. If your pledge does not already represent an increase over your 2022 pledge amount, can you consider doing so? If you have already increased your commitment for 2022, can you add a bit more? Kirsten and I were able to increase our pledge this year. This church and its missions mean a lot to us. When a request went out earlier this month to church leadership, we responded with an additional $500 increase in our pledge for 2023. Today, we are increasing that by an additional $1,500. Thank you.
Lane, do you need to be a member to pledge?
No.
Hear these words from the psalmist. Give thanks to she who is majesty, for she is good, and her faithful love endures forever. Let the redeemed of she who saves proclaim that she redeemed them from the hand of the foe, and she has gathered them from all the lands, from the east and from the west, from the north and from the south. They wandered in the wilderness, in the desert. No path to a city fit for settling did they find. They were hungry and thirsty. Their souls fainted within them. Then they cry to she who hears in their trouble. And from their distress she delivered them, and she led them on a straight path to a city fit for settling. Let them give thanks to the womb of life for her faithful love and her wonderful works for the woman born. For she satisfies the thirsty soul, and the hungry souls she fills with goodness. They cried to the mother of all in their trouble, and she delivered them from their distress. She sent forth her word and healed them and saved them from their pits. Let them give thanks to the womb of life for her faithful love and wonderful works for the woman born. Let them sacrifice sacrifices of thanksgiving and tell of her acts with shouts of joy. When Jesus spoke again to the people, he said, "I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life." Marianne Williamson says, "Light is to darkness what love is to fear. In the presence of one, the other disappears."
Good morning and welcome, and let's join together in the call to celebration. We gather as God's beloved children. We come together as a people whom Jesus calls into community. We have come to give thanks, to pray and sing, to be with each other. Let us worship God.
Would you please rise in body or spirit for our first hymn?
we'll say the opening prayer together. We give you thanks for all the ways that you bless our lives, the beauty and abundance of nature, the love of family and friends, the joy of knowing you and hearing your word. Send your spirit during this time of worship so that we might dream your dreams and see visions of the world as you created it to be. Guide our thoughts and actions. Bring us closer to you so that we might do your will and dwell in your house forever. Amen. The call to confession: God is gracious and merciful and knows our needs even before they reach our lips. Still, we engage in confession, admitting to God that all rests uneasily in our hearts. Confident of God's love, let us make our confession first in silent prayer. And the prayer of confession: gracious God, source of all life, Lord of mercy and grace, hear our prayer. We come before you in need of healing, the healing of our bodies and souls, the healing of our relationships, the healing of our pride and fear and apathy. We know that with you, nothing is impossible, not even our healing, not even the restoration of the whole world. We pray that you will heal us, that you will heal our world, so that we will be freed to serve and love and dream and be as Christ calls us. Amen. Friends, hear this good news. The love of God is beyond measure, and you are included in that love. Know that you are forgiven, and thus freed to love and serve. Alleluia, alleluia, amen. And sharing, oops, I'm sorry, Andy.
Don't tread on me. The peace of Christ be with you. Let's share the peace with one another. The kids can now go to connect and godly play. When we were kids, my mother would always say this to us.
You're fine.
When we were kids, my mother would always say this to us, and I didn't realize until much later that she was quoting scripture. She said, "Those to whom much have been given, much will be expected." I hate that. Let's continue to worship God with our offerings. Let's pray the prayer of thanksgiving together. As we offer our gifts to you, Holy God, may we remember those who forgotten by us too many times, the hungry, the lonely, the homeless, the vulnerable, yet are important citizens in your kingdom of grace, justice, and hope. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Please be seated.
The scripture today is from Matthew, chapter 8, verses 14 to 22. When Jesus entered Peter's house, he saw his mother-in-law laid out and fevered. And Jesus touched her hand, and the fever left her. And she got up and began to serve him. That evening, they brought Jesus many who were demon-possessed, And he cast out the spirits with a word and healed all the sick in order to fulfill what had been spoken through the prophet Isaiah. He took our infirmities and bore our diseases. But when Jesus saw a crowd around him, he commanded that they go over to the other side. A religious scholar then approached and said, "Teacher, I will follow you wherever you go." And Jesus said to him, "Foxes have dens and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Woman has nowhere to lay his head." Another of his disciples said to him, "Lord, let me go first and bury my father." But Jesus said to him, "Follow me and let the dead bury their dead."
I don't know about the rest of you, but this story about Peter's mother-in-law, I guess I sort of knew it about it, sort of out there, but I never preached about it. I've never heard a sermon about it. It doesn't appear in the lectionary that we use, and there's no commentary for it because it doesn't appear in the lectionary. And the only sermons that I can find online are from very conservative evangelical congregations. So I thought we would try something new today because church people love doing things in a new way, right? So we're going to do the sermon together. Together, right? So it's going to be one of those ones that sticks with you. Wilda Gaffney translates it this way from the original Greek. When Jesus entered Peter's house, he saw his mother-in-law laid out and fevered. And Jesus touched her hand, and the fever left her, and she got up and began to serve him. So, as I said, this text doesn't appear in the commentaries because it doesn't appear in the lectionary. So here's what I could dig up about the text. Now, it's not going to be a quiz afterwards, but we're going to think about it together after I give you this and you've heard the scripture text. That story about Peter and his mother-in-law appears in all three of the synoptic gospels, Matthew, Mark, and Luke. Now, Matthew, the Gospel of Matthew, was written in approximately 85 to 90 in the Common Era, and Matthew drew from Mark, which was written about 20 years earlier. So Matthew had Mark in front of him, took some of that stuff out, and included it in his. Now, remember that neither Mark nor Matthew, nor any of the other evangelists for that matter, could have known Jesus. Mark's gospel, the one from which he drew from Matthew, mentions that Jesus and his disciples go to Peter's house as soon as they leave the synagogue. Matthew, this morning, leaves that tidbit out about the synagogue. Luke, like Matthew, written roughly 10 years after Mark, Luke includes it. So Matthew and Luke are written about the same time. Matthew leaves it out. Luke includes it. This chapter of Matthew, chapter 8, it doesn't have a narrative story that can pull it all through. It's more like the book of Proverbs. It's made up of a series of healing stories and miracles, the cleansing of the leper, the healing of the centurion's servant, the healing of Peter's mother-in-law, the stilling of the storm, and the healing of the Gadarene demoniacs. They don't all fit together, they just plopped in there. Remember, they went to Peter's house where the mother-in-law was. That house, where the story unfolds, appears a bit, at least to me, like a frat house in downtown Capernaum. Peter lives there with his wife. His wife's mother lives there. Simon Peter and Andrew live there too. And Jesus often stayed there while he was in Capernaum, so often that some considered it his other home. Okay, that's what we know. Let's think together. This story that appears in all three Gospels doesn't get included in any of the lectionaries? I don't have an answer for this. Why do you think that might be?
Because they don't understand it either.
Because they don't understand, the people who did the lectionary don't understand it either. That could be. Maybe it's because Jesus healed someone and she gets up and serves him. So they're trying to make an example of Peter's mother-in-law. The first time that Jesus gets something in exchange. Other reasons that... Dee Dee? I'll repeat it. So it might be that Jesus was just grumpy and not at his best self, and that's why the people who wrote the lectionaries didn't include it. Anybody else have one more thought before I move on? Oh, John. Oh, well, he's ordained. That doesn't count. So after his mother-in-law was healed, she got up and served him and called her into a ministry of discipleship, like the men, and we don't do that. There is a little ecclesiastical tidbit in this scripture text that I wonder if you picked up on, or if you reflect on it a little bit, you can pick up on. Think about Peter and who Peter is and was. Excuse me? A tax collector. Come on, don't make me sing this Sunday school song. Who was Peter in the life of the church, the Big C church?
The Rock.
The Rock, the Pope. Right? The first bishop of Rome. And what does Peter have? A wife. Lane's clicking now. Why do you think Matthew strung all these stories together? The, what, five or six unrelated stories? Anybody?
Okay.
Yeah. Excellent. Matthew's trying to prove that Jesus is fulfilling Isaiah's prophecy where he took on our infirmities. I think that's very close to what little I read. Anything else? Jeanette?
He included people that weren't traditionally part of the chosen group.
So he Yes, he included people that weren't traditionally part of the chosen group, right? It wasn't just Jews. It was Gentiles and a leper, and Jesus brought all those people into the fold. There's one more thing that I'm looking for about why Matthew might have included these stories in the chapter. They're all healing and miracle stories. Why would you tell those stories? To prove his divinity. Yes, Matthew is trying to prove that Jesus is divine because nobody can bring about miracles other than God. So, all of you homileticians who have just done this exegesis, right, pulling the meaning out of the text, and you've stayed away from eisegesis, which is projecting your story into the text, you've approached the scripture text with a hermeneutic of suspicion. How's that for a seminary phrase? You look at the text and find out, like, what's the hidden meaning behind the text? So, given all of that, what is the takeaway message of your sermon? Like, how do you wrap it all up in the final couple of paragraphs? People are working. Somebody's got to have one, because I certainly don't. Randall, are you raising your hand or just to speak, I mean?
I guess I focus on the second half of it.
The second half of the reading.
People are saying, what does it take to follow you? Mm-hmm.
So what's the message? Given that he's saying it's hard to follow him and you're going to give up permanence in your life, even family, what's the... And even like COVID, right? He says, let the dead bury the dead. Makes the comment about let the dead bury the dead. As are we all. They wouldn't have said sex, but I get the idea. So the first point you're making is that he was speaking to a religious scholar. Family in that day, kinship bonds were the highest that they had. And he's saying, let go of those. That's not what we're about anymore. Let the dead bury the dead. And then the second one is it's about a woman. It includes a woman. It was written by a man. They didn't see the value of that. the author of the text, right? So it demonstrates that Jesus is open to anybody being his disciple, not just men. You have a sermon in you, Dee Dee.
That's John's job.
The priesthood of all believers. Rich, the son of woman. Well, remember, this year I'm using Wilda Gaffney's lectionary, a woman's lectionary for the whole church. She's fluent in Hebrew and Greek, and she's gone back to the original texts and interpreted them as a female biblical scholar. And part of her research has found that there are a multitude of names for the divine, not just male references. And so she brings those in throughout. So she's referring to the divine that way. Look back at the psalm that I start, well, you don't have it in there, but womb of life, lots of those references. Any other thoughts before I ask one of the really hard questions? Sarah?
So I heard you as you were speaking and saying about kinship bonds being so important in society, but it kind of recast it for me a little bit of what is most important in our society, and is that what we are challenged to maybe give up some of?
It's what's ultimate, right? So Sarah is saying, given that the kinship bonds are ultimate in that society, and that's what they need to get rid of, what is ultimate in our society that we need to get rid of? Or what is ultimate in ourselves that we need to get rid of? And Sarah waffled a bit and said, it won't always be easy. Giving up what's ultimate is never going to be easy, right? But that's what's required to follow Jesus. Okay, here's the second hardest question. Given that you need to have the bulletin information into the church administrator by the end of the day on Monday, what's your sermon title? What's that? You need to come up with a snappy, compelling sermon title that will get people in when you put it on that sign out front. John? Yes. Right, you do something snappy, then sort of ignore it, and then do the sermon. Yes, often. Who's creative this morning and has a snappy sermon title? Even non-snappy.
No time for rest.
No time for rest.
Times are changing.
Times are changing with all that repositioning of values. One more sermon title? Easy schmeezy. Okay, try one more. One more snappy. I like it, Doug. One more that gets at something different than others have raised.
What is? I don't know, that was a Jeopardy question.
It was a Jeopardy answer, right? Excuse me, John? Femininity in the divine. Be open to new possibilities. That is a great sermon title for the day of the annual meeting, right? And as we prepare for a new pastor, be open to new possibilities. Forget what you know. But what we know keeps us safe, right? And lets us be in control. Heather?
Even Jesus got the blues.
Even Jesus got the blues. Let's pray. Oh God, the psalmist tells us your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. May it be so for us. Amen. I'm not ignoring you. I'm just checking to see if there's texts or emails about prayers. We have the names on the prayer list that are in the bulletin. Please keep those on your heart through the week. We didn't get any emails or texts about them. What celebrations and joys and concerns and other things that people would like held in prayer today before the congregation? Ken? Karen is back from Kentucky after providing care and care management and love and support and all those exhausting things that one does as one's parents age.
And her dad, Doug, underwent a surgical procedure last week and he's doing really well. Things have improved.
And Karen's father, Doug, had a surgical procedure that did great things and he's looking much better now. Amy?
I have a prayer for all of the students who are receiving back notices from colleges and universities and so forth and negotiating acceptances and rejections and how to deal with their friends on these things and so forth.
For all the young people who are receiving letters back from colleges after applications, whether they are the thin letters or the thick letters, and how do they navigate all the stuff that comes up with that for themselves and their families with their friends. Dee Dee? There's a rally on,
a vigil,
on the Common, Black Lives Matter, to remember those who have been killed, and a prayer for safety and wisdom. Comfort. Deb? Deb and Steve's granddaughter is healing nicely and has had the catheter removed. You remember that there were some issues there. Just this past Friday was the 78th anniversary of Yom HaShoah. Yom HaShoah, it's also known as Holocaust Remembrance Day, and it's the 27th of the Hebrew month of Nisan. And what it commemorates is the liberation of the of Auschwitz. Shoah, which means catastrophe, or utter destruction in Hebrew, refers to the atrocities that were committed against the Jewish people during World War II. The Shoah is also known as the Holocaust from a Greek word meaning sacrifice by fire. The Holocaust was the largest manifestation of anti-Semitism in recent history. Yom HaShoah reminds us of the horrors that Jews and other persecuted groups faced: forced labor, starvation, humiliation, and torture, which often resulted in death. It was a systematic effort to wipe out an entire population from the earth. Many commemorate Yom HaShoah by lighting a yellow candle. They light the yellow candle to keep those memories alive. And most synagogues and Jewish communities gather together to mark the day through worship and other things. So this morning I would like to share a prayer by a rabbi whose name, unfortunately, I can't pronounce, but out of respect, I will do my best. Rabbi Yehoyada Amir. And it's the El Mael Rahamim prayer for the victims of the Shoah. And it was translated from Hebrew into English by Aaron Varaday. Would you join your hearts with mine in prayer? El, full of compassion, who dwells in the heights, provide a fitting rest upon the wings of the Shekinah, within the ascents of the holy and the pure, who shine like the starry heaven for our 6 million sisters and brothers who lost their lives in the Shoah, that were killed and slaughtered, suffocated and buried alive, burned and tortured. The young and the elderly, women and men, leaders and simpletons, those faithful in Torah along with rebels and dreamers, beloved and pleasant in life and not separated from that love even after death. Provide a fitting rest to the souls of members of the many other religions and nationalities who fell victim to the predatory appetite of the Nazis, including those who opposed the murderous regime, gays and lesbians, Romani people, and people with bodily or mental disabilities, along with many others they found unworthy of life. Provide a fitting rest to the souls of all those who fought for life and liberty, those who sacrificed their lives to save the life of others, those who clung to the values of life and love even while in the valley of the shadows of death, and those who grabbed weapons to battle their oppressors. O land, do not cover their blood. Do not be a resting place for their screams. May our lives be the monument to their memories. May their memory serve to strengthen our belief in the ultimate triumph of good over evil, of truth over falsehood, and of freedom over subjugation. Master of compassion, safeguard them in your wings forever, and bind their souls in the everlasting matrix of life. May they rest in Gan Adin. May Hashem be their inheritance, and may they rest in peace wherever they may be lying. May their righteousness be a source of merit for us, for all of Israel, and for all those who fight for freedom, justice, and peace. And let us all say, Amen. O God, we pray as Jesus, our brother, teacher, and guide, would have us. Our divine parent, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Would you please rise in body or spirit for our final hymn?
Thank you.
remember the dead. And as you work to make sure it never happens again, may you love God so much that you love nothing else too much. And may you fear God enough that you fear nothing else at all. Go in peace. Amen. Please be seated.